We lived on the Bay's place, and as I told you, Daddy could not make the payments. Things got so bad, and he didn't have the work that he needed. So we had to give up that place, and so we had to move. I think it's so funny how your mind or my memories are so vivid in some places and some things, and yet I can't remember ever leaving the base place. I don't remember loading up. I don't remember the trip across town. And especially with all the things we had to carry, we even, had the old cow and other things that we took over there. And there is a book that I want to recommend, and the name of it is My Name is Basil. It was written by Basil about 3 or 4 years before he died. And if you're interested in the family records, in the family stories, you need to read that because it's very interesting. It'll be much more interesting than what I'm writing or what I'm telling you. But our move to the Westbrook farm, Daddy had gotten, and let me quote this. This is about Daddy and the man named Westbrook. About the time that we lost the place, Daddy had already made contact with a gentleman named Westbrook. He was an executive of the Franklin Life Insurance Company, and the company had various farms throughout Central Texas. Mr. Westbrook had hired Daddy to go to these farms and repair and remodel houses, which were in disarray and in desperate need of repair. Daddy followed that line for a while. He worked for $2.50 a day and even paid for his own traveling expense. After he had done that for a while, Mr. Brook told him of a 1,200-acre farm that the insurance company owned. It was named Meadowbrook, south of Waco, about 4 or 5 miles. He said there was a house we could move into, and Daddy could continue traveling and repairing the farms. The family could work on the farm when there was work available for J.C. and Batzel. And Mr. Westbrook told us that they would allow us 35 acres we could use to grow a crop, and it would be our own. It looked very favorable considering the Depression. And Batzel was 14 at that time. Being on the Meadowbrook farm for 3 or 4 years reminded Basil of what a plantation life must have been during the mid-1800s. On the 1,200 acres, there were 43 houses and 43 horses and mules, mostly mules, and 100 head of beef cattle. There were about 30 head of dairy cattle and about 80 head of hogs. There were 3 families on the farm working full-time with the stock, doing the milking and feeding. There was a full-time blacksmith shop. They needed it for the plow sheeps, sweeps, and horseshoeing. I had never been around a blacksmith shop in my life, so it was quite an experience for me. The 35 acres we were allotted were used for cotton and cash crop and corn and for our own use. Part of it was used for raising our food. And he goes on to explain the house, and he explained it very well, but considering it was a clapboard house, which means no frame walls, sometimes they would call it a box house. There were cracks in the walls and floor that you could see through. As far as our water, it was piped out to the front yard out of a pump. We didn't have to draw it from a well, at least. We also had an outhouse that was part of the deal. I remember that house so well, and like I said, I don't remember moving out there, but I remember just being there. And that was the way I saw the house. Especially in Batsel, and JC's room was off at the end of the house, and you could be lay in the bed and look up, and you could see the stars at night. And it would be so bad that when it was real cold and it snowed or it rained, you came in and got the beds wet. So it was not a pleasant place to live at all. Mr. Campbell, Omar Campbell, was an overseer of the farm. There were about 15 or 20 of us out in the field. This is Batsel's story now. About 15 or 20 of us out in the field. Most were black men hoeing and gathering. The fields were worked by people from town. They would work from sunup to sundown for $1 a day. Mr. Campbell would come out in the field maybe twice in the morning and twice in the afternoon riding his horse. In most cases, he would never say a word. He would just ride up behind us and watch what we were doing. Then he would go behind someone else. He did that to most of the workers. They would turn around and go back. Once in a while, he would make a suggestion of how to make the person's work could be improved. There was no reprimand or anything such as that. He just was checking things over. And that's what I remember about Mr. Campbell. He was always very businesslike. And about all I can ever remember, Mr. Campbell was walking around over the yards and out in the field. I would see him riding his horse out in the field. There were two types of silos on that place, the underground silo and the vertical concrete silo that was about 50 feet high. We filled those with silage for feeding the stock. In filling a 50-foot silo, the silo was fed from the top as it rose. The custom was to have goats or men walking around packing it down. The story was that Hub, and he was a black man that lived on the farm, was walking around, and we got about 50 feet from the top of the silo from the ground. They realized he was walking around sound asleep, and the story of that was that Batch really liked Hub and his family, his wife and family, but Hub would go out and at night and go to town or wherever and drink and carouse nearly all night. They would even hear him come home at night, because the road right beside our house went to his house, and they could hear him come home. But the next morning he would get up riding early and go out to work, but he would sleep. That's the reason he was saying he was sound asleep. He would keep sleeping all during the day, even carrying the milk to the road. They would put milk in the cans and take them up about a mile and a half to Robinson Highway. And Baxter was said he would sit on those cans and drive those mules up to the road to unload that cans of milk, and Batsel would be with him. And he would say he'd look over and Hub would be sleeping. All of these happenings during Roosevelt's administration in an effort to help the poor farmer that his administration paid farmers to plow under certain crops, usually grains and corn, thus maintaining high demand and assuring the highest possible prices on those crops. Mr. Westbrook had a bright idea. He would make sure that he took double advantage of this policy. He was what one would call the office farmer. He had an office on the Franklin Insurance Company in downtown Waco, which was owned by Meadowbrook Farm. He would take the money to plow under his cotton crop, but instead of plowing it under, he would cut it up into silage, and that would be corn feed, and save on purchasing cow feed. The problem was that you cut the cotton, which is generally not used for cotton feed in the first place, just when the bolls were forming. Cotton is just puffing out of the bolls. Those cuttings were stored in underground storage until they went through a slight fermentation process. When it came to time to use as feed, wow, the odor was terrible. So my part of the story then is, one of the things that we did several times as the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus came to town each year and would spend the first 24 hours unloading, training, and setting up. That was usually out on the far part of Franklin Avenue, which was nothing, and I'm talking around about where Lowe's is now, on out towards Jerusalem Mall. Was all just fields. And they would set up, unload the train and set things up. And during the Depression, there was no way we could afford the price of a ticket to a circus, but number of times we went to the area where they unloaded all the animals from the trains. We would be down there at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, enjoying every minute. Sometimes we'd go to one of the open areas where they had set up the tents and arenas. Once I was out, now this is Batzel speaking, once I was out at the setup location and witnessed something that stayed with me for years. Most all of the equipment and wagons were horse-drawn. It had rained heavily the day before. This area happened to be of the old black gumbo mud, as previously mentioned. There was one wagon of lines being pulled by two horses. They were progressing pretty well for about 100 yards or so, and then they were stuck in the mud so deep that they became absolutely immobile. The drivers went over and brought two elephants over for assistance. The elephants lowered their heads against the back of the wagon. Off they went in their destination. That was very similar to some of the experience that I had out on the farm in that type of mud.